This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker.
Home builder Tom Armstrong says Rivian has made a big difference in business.
Five showings in the first 5 minutes, and the first person that was there put a full price offer on. That, it never happens in Bloomington, Illinois.
Rivian hiring hundreds makes it a great realty market for sellers, not so much for buyers. Plus, a new book edited by Central Illinois educators chronicles the teen LGBTQ experience. Hear about the Central Illinois meeting between the great agnostic and one of the foremost abolitionist voices of the 19th century and what it means for today. And we have poetry, the winner of Illinois' statewide high school poetry contest. All that and a news update on the way. This is Sound Ideas on WGLT.
Support for Sound Ideas comes from Bloomington Normal Audiology, the best hearing device center in the Pantograph Reader's Choice Awards for the sixth year in a row. Bloomington Normal Audiology thanks the listeners and their continued vote of confidence as the leaders in hearing and technology. With a practice featuring five doctors, including two who wear hearing devices themselves, BNA takes a genuine interest in each patient and helps you keep hearing the most important sounds of your life. More information at bnaudiology.com. Bloomington Normal Audiology, here for you.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Let's run down some of the day's top stories. Voters continue heading to the polls to elect city, town, township, and school board leaders. Voting ends at 7. A hotly contested race for mayor of Normal and a crowded mayoral field in Bloomington have boosted interest this year. 18-year incumbent Mayor Chris Coos faces challenger Mark Tiratilli for a second election cycle in Normal. 4 years ago, 11 votes separated the two. In Bloomington, council member Mboka Mwilambwe faces Mike Straza and Jackie Gunderson in the mayoral race. Incumbent Mayor Terry Renner chose not to run again. There are also 9 candidates running for 3 positions on the Normal Town Council and contested races in many Bloomington wards. The State Auto Dealers Association says its lawsuit against automaker Rivian has nothing to do with the viability of electric vehicles. Illinois Automobile Dealers Association President Pete Sanders says they're not opposed to Rivian's existence.
I mean, we have dealers that have written to Rivian and said, hey, we would love to sell your vehicles. You know, franchises, many dealers would love to do. We have a dealer in the Bloomington area that's, I think he writes them every week and asks them to do something.
The association filed the lawsuit last month over Rivian's plans to sell directly to consumers. According to the association, Rivian's plans contradict language in state law that prohibits the practice. Rivian has previously declined to comment on the suit. The association also says the Secretary of State is backtracking on agreements not to allow any new manufacturers to sell directly to consumers. Ratings agency Moody's has downgraded Unit 5's credit rating from AA2 to AA3. Moody's implemented a new grading system that impacts hundreds of school districts across the country. Unit 5 officials say the changes will have no impact. Moody's describes the district's finances as solid, but says the district gets substantial support for its underfunded teacher retirement system. Unit 5 Chief Financial Officer Marty Hickman says the district can't afford to pay a greater share of retirement costs.
I can tell you from our current finances, we don't have the funds in the budget to be able to cover something like that.
Hickman says Unit 5 doesn't plan to sell bonds that would require a rating anytime soon. Illinois lawmakers have discussed plans to have school districts pay more toward teacher retirements. McLean County may try again to join a cost-sharing agreement for drop-off recycling with Bloomington and Normal. County Administrator Camille Rodriguez says she plans to ask the County Board's Executive Committee to consider the plan. The county's Land Use Committee already said no.
We're just looking forward to the opportunity to have another chance to explain the benefits of the program and what it can bring to everyone. And to keep waste out of our landfills.
Bloomington and Normal already approved the agreement. The city, town, and county would each pay $65,000 in the first year. Several county board members who rejected it say the county should pay less, and many in smaller towns already pay for their own recycling. This is Sound Ideas on 89.1 FM WGLT and WGLT.org. I'm Charlie Schlenker.
Support for WGLT comes from Bloomington Normal Audiology. BNA's educational video series, Hear My Story, continues with local patient Gina Barnhart.
They truly have changed my life. I have a better quality of life, and to just be able to have the empowerment that I have and the confidence that I've been able to gain.
Gina's full story can be found at bnaudiology.com.
You're listening to Bloomington Normal's Public Media. Rivian Automotive's announcement that it plans to hire 1,800 more workers at its electric vehicle plant in Normal by the end of the year has realtors and home builders scrambling to make sure there are enough places for those workers to live in Bloomington Normal. Eric Stock reports.
Tom Armstrong owns Armstrong Builders in Bloomington. He has seen the good times and the bad in the housing market. Over the last decade, it's been mostly bad.
There's been a few times during this last couple of years where I questioned whether or not I should be doing what I do.
Recovery from the 2008 recession was slow. Armstrong built the Grove subdivision in southeast Bloomington. Construction had largely stopped. But in the last few months, Armstrong says he has seen a resurgence.
It's been sitting. We haven't been moving forward. It hasn't been going anywhere like this. And now we are looking at it going, how fast can we get this thing done?
Armstrong says low interest rates help jumpstart the housing market. That offset the rising cost of lumber and other building materials. Then came Rivian's announcement that it would be hiring by the hundreds as it begins electric vehicle production. Armstrong says he felt the impact when he put a new home on the market last month.
Five showings in the first 5 minutes, and the first person that was there put a full price offer on. That it never happens in Bloomington, Illinois. But because of Rivian, because of the environment that we're in right now, it's changing.
Rivian's plans could stretch a housing market that already has limited inventory. That makes it a tough time to be a buyer. But Bloomington realtor Greg Zavitt says it's a great market for sellers.
Man, it's the best time I've ever had. I've been doing this 35 years. I've got myself and two other people. And we are just hopping like bunnies.
Zavitt says it's hard to keep up with sales leads because they're coming so fast. He says they can't always give a prospective buyer the home they want. He says he recently had to tell a client they can't get a four-bedroom home in Bloomington Normal for less than $225,000. Zavitt says if you find a home you like, you better move fast.
I say find somebody that can get you in the house as soon as possible because it may not last more than a couple days. And you can't say, oh, I'll go look at it next week, because most of the time it's sold by then.
Zavitt says housing demand is also high because more people are working from home and they decide they need more space or they're ready for something different. And Zavitt says some who want to buy are afraid to put their current home on the market first because they fear they'll be left without a place to live. Zavitt says home buyers will find a place to live in Bloomington Normal. He says you might have to pay more than you want, and you might have to wait a little longer. You might have to rent first or buy a house outside the Twin Cities and commute. Rivian's planned hiring spree has also pumped life into the struggling hotel market in Bloomington Normal. Rachel Bedeker is general manager at Eastland Suites in Bloomington. It's one of four extended stay hotels in the Twin Cities. Bedeker says Rivian contractors started coming in droves last fall.
Some of them think they're going to be here for 3 or 4 months and then they end up leaving tomorrow, but some of them think they're going to be here for 2 or 3 nights, and then they end up staying for months at a time.
Bedeker says as soon as one Rivian contractor checks out, another one checks in. She says Rivian accounts for about 80% of Eastland Suites customers in recent months, and the hotel was nearly full almost all the time now. That wasn't the case last year, as the pandemic cut Bloomington Normal hotel business nearly in half. Bedeker says in a typical year, the hotel would not have had the available beds for Rivian. Bedeker says Rivian has caused Eastland Suites to shift its focus more toward extended stay visitors and less on people coming in for weddings, conventions, and sporting events.
It's definitely been a transition in how we operate in a good way, I think. As long as I've been here, which is almost 20 years, we've never been this full with extended stay for this long of a time.
Home builder Tom Armstrong says his company plans to put up another 33 homes at the Grove subdivision in the next year, and he says there's plenty of room for more development there. But Armstrong says he still has questions about Rivian's future before he builds beyond that. He wants to know if there will be more hiring at the electric vehicle plant after this year. What kind of homes will those employees want? What can they afford? And how many already live here? Armstrong says another challenge home builders face is a shortage of workers. Many builders are retired or found other careers during the downturn. Armstrong says he's fortunate he didn't lay off any workers, so he says he has enough to get the job done. Armstrong says home building now is like drinking from a fire hose, but he's not complaining.
It's contagious. It's fun. Again, I've got a grin on my face, and I didn't have it there a couple of years ago.
And Rivian's success in the electric vehicle market will help determine how long Armstrong will keep smiling. I'm Eric Stock.
On Monday, the Normal Town Council approved plans for construction of up to 50 new homes in the Vineyard subdivision in Northeast Normal. Home builder Tom Armstrong says Rivian's announcement will likely boost home construction in Peoria, Champaign-Urbana, and elsewhere in McLean County as well. This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. A new book, co-edited by an Illinois State University professor, showcases stories, art, and poetry by LGBTQ high schoolers. Christine Hatfield reports the project includes a broad spectrum of student experiences.
The book is called Writing Out of the Closet. It features work from 20 students across North America. The book is dedicated, quote, to all the young LGBTQ writers still waiting to be heard. Kyle O'Daniel is one of the editors. He teaches English at Mohammed Seymour High School. He says the project came about in part because he realized the work of young LGBTQ artists wasn't being represented.
There are actually a lot of barriers for young LGBTQ artists and writers to publishing their work, either because there are not enough avenues to do so, because they feel they might be censored, or even because they censor themselves.
Co-editor Aaron McCulloch is a professor in the School of Teaching and Learning at Illinois State University. She considers herself an ally to the LGBTQ community. McCulloch says the book mixes experiences of activism and resistance with joy and happiness.
There seems to be a single narrative of the LGBTQ youth experience, right, of trauma and pain. And yes, that's out there, but that's not, of course, the only experience there is.
One trans artist in the collection is Jax Wokus. He's now a student at the University of Washington in Seattle. Wokus says trans youth are often left out of the conversation completely.
We are so often the subject of these like big debates, and people don't even like talk to us about like, oh, hey, you're the one being directly impacted by this. How do you like feel about this?
Wokus says it's important for people who are questioning or out to be able to see themselves represented in media. He grew up in what he says was a very Christian part of Illinois.
I straight up didn't know that LGBT people existed until middle school, because it just wasn't a topic that came up.
Three pieces of his art appear in the book. He says he created it to express his feelings as a gay trans person of color. Wokus says his art has a very in-your-face style.
The first one that I did was this charcoal piece of a person in a bathroom with all these eyes like cemented into the room staring at the person. And I did that on purpose to make the viewer uncomfortable.
He says the trans bathroom debate was big at the time. Wokus says he wanted people to understand how it felt using public bathrooms as a trans person. Another piece draws on his experiences with a date at a school dance.
I wanted to really show that, like, the pure ecstasy that exists with, like, love and whatnot. And I think that's a very good a very important representation to see visually.
Where Wokus relies on the visual medium, others in the collection use words as their palette. Nathan Lee comes from California. He says he wrote his poetry in the book back when he was first coming out as trans and struggling with dysphoria.
I wanted to kind of make the reader feel the same objectification and disconnect from my body that I was experiencing. And that's what was kind of going on when I was like comparing my body, parts of my body to different objects.
Lee now studies at the University of California, Davis. He says he wants to use his art to connect to other trans people of color. And he says his work isn't necessarily for everybody.
I don't think you can inspire somebody to advocacy just through art. I think it's important that you actually put yourself to work during real, meaningful, like, things that will materially help marginalized groups.
Lee says representation can be helpful for people who are questioning or out.
I think it's an important gateway to recognizing that, like, there are other ways to exist than just cisgender heterosexual. And that you can like survive and thrive even if you're gay or trans or whatever.
Lee says art can help queer people find power in their experiences.
We read and consume art and media because it's beautiful, because it makes us feel something. And I think it's important to let like queer people know that like, yes, your experiences are beautiful, your experiences are meaningful, and that they can see themselves in things that resonate with people.
Editor Erin McCulloch says she hopes the book will benefit both the young and the old. She says she gave a copy of the collection to an older friend of hers.
We were chatting and he says, this is what I needed when I was that age. And so I want this to be something that's really positive for young people. But I also think it's a really good thing for people of all ages as well.
Co-editor Kyle O'Daniel says the book also reflects the changing of the times from the days of limited LGBTQ narratives in media.
A lot of the representations that are even just, you know, 10, 15 years old, definitely tell that one single story. But now if you turn on the TV today, it's a much different experience. So I hope that the book kind of provides that different experience as well.
O'Daniel says he hopes there'll be more volumes of the collection and more chances to raise the voices of young LGBTQ people. I'm Christine Hatfield.
The book Writing Out of the Closet, featuring young LGBTQ writers, comes as conservative state legislatures across the country consider bills to prevent trans children from taking part in school athletics. Some measures would also make it more difficult for them to get gender-affirming medical care. This is 89.1 FM WGLT and WGLT.org. There are no photos of the moment, and it happened long before it could be recorded in any meaningful way for the future. We're talking about a meeting between two of the most important figures of the 19th century, the renowned reformer, writer, and orator Frederick Douglass, and one of Peoria's most illustrious citizens, Robert Ingersoll. It happened in 1870 as Douglass passed through central Illinois on a speaking tour. Ingersoll was referred to as the great agnostic, and he openly called out the church of his time. In this interview with correspondent Steve Tarter, Freedom from Religion Foundation co-founder Annie Laurie Gaylor talks about his meeting with Douglass and where the free thinker movement stands today.
I thought it was amazing, the meeting of two great minds. Very appropriate that they should meet, and very typical of Ingersoll that he would have extended the hospitality to this visiting dignitary, inviting him to stay at his house if he needed to. I'm sure it would have been as good as the hotel that Frederick Douglass did end up finding a room at, and famous for his love of good food. And, you know, he said, a good meal lost is gone forever. That statue shows a rather portly figure,
right,
at the end of his life. And he was a great believer in good living. And of course was had quite a role in the Civil War and an ardent abolitionist and believer in civil liberties and in women's rights as well. So they were very simpatico.
Douglass was there for another speech. And really, with the speech he had was in Elmwood, which is probably 20-some miles away from Peoria, but had to come through Peoria for train. And then, oh, yeah, you ought to check in on Ingersoll, who, of course, is a known figure, as Douglass was, right there in Peoria. You almost wish there was a photo of that meeting.
But the two men, so photogenic, so iconic, such big presences, all by themselves meeting, you can picture it.
And I guess that's another true connection between Douglass and Ingersoll, both very strong pro-women, women's rights, which of course was a contentious issue in that time.
Oh, yes. And again, Elizabeth Cady Stanton was a great admirer of Ingersoll and vice versa.
Right.
So the progressives of the era knew each other.
Annie, when you look out across, you know, the present landscape, the idea of a free thinker or somebody who's open-minded, boy, there's no better time than right now for that, is there?
No, I like to say this is the best of times and the worst of times to be a free thinker. It's the best of times in terms of the fact that there's never been more of us. When you look at the Pew statistics and the Public Research Institute statistics, PRRI, we're a quarter of the population, a little bit more, identifying as non-religious. And among young people, it's 21% identifies openly as atheist or agnostic, but about a third of young people say they have no religion or are non-religious. So there's been a huge growth and explosion of free thinking. And there are so many groups in Peoria, humanist and secular groups all around the country at the local level, regional level, healthy national groups. But the courts in our country, of course, were a problem even before Trump took office. But now that he has appointed almost a third of the federal judiciary, we are in real trouble in terms of the Constitution, our godless and secular Constitution and who's interpreting it. And in terms of civil liberties, Black civil liberties, LGBTQ, and of course, women's rights, reproductive rights and abortion are very much endangered. January 6th, that insurrection of white Christian nationalists really showed us, do we want to be one nation under God? I don't think so. That was pretty scary, that mob. We want to be one nation indivisible. We want to be a secular nation where you can believe anything you like or nothing at all, and the government isn't telling you what to believe.
That's Freedom From Religion Foundation co-founder Annie Laurie Gaylor speaking with correspondent Steve Tarter. Her group helped fundraise to preserve and restore an Ingersoll statue at Glen Oak Park in Peoria. This is Bloomington Normal's Public Media. A Chicago student recently won the Illinois State Championship for a national poetry competition. Yvonne Booz has more.
Emily Dickinson at the Poetry Slam by Dan Vera. I will tell you why she rarely ventured from her house.
Catherine Herrera is a senior at Taft High School. The 17-year-old first took part in the Poetry Out Loud contest a few years ago. She says she originally entered the contest because she loves performance theater.
I realized when I was reading these poems that it kind of felt like a monologue that I would be able to do in theater. And it felt like I could bring a sort of character to these pieces.
Herrera explains that she's a musical theater enthusiast and has participated in many productions and contests. Her first professional theater competition was the Jackalope One-Act Living Newspaper Festival with some students from Taft. Herrera adds that performing spoken word is a little different from the type of art that she is used to doing.
I feel like with poetry, there's this newfound sense of power that I also can feel, because your words, everyone is hanging on to your word by like every single phrase and verse that you're saying in a poem. And it's all so important. Every word is so important in Poetry Out Loud.
Brian Wilson is a drama teacher at Taft. This is his first year serving as a Poetry Out Loud school coordinator, but he's helped with the event in the past. Wilson says the school is proud of Herrera and that she has many accolades besides this one.
Like the Chicago Youth Theater Festival. She didn't quite mention it, but she won the musical theater competition this year, was a finalist last year.
Wilson says this year's preparation for the event was different because it wasn't in person. He mentions that some students who would have normally taken part didn't feel comfortable with the in-home surveillance.
And with some of the mandates that we have as teachers, we can't really say students have the cameras on. We know that there's equity issues with that. We know that there's some students that just is not an option.
He says there's a shared heartbeat that is felt when things take place in person, and this is missing during the virtual events. Herrera would agree. She mentions that she is much more comfortable with performing on stage.
There is this different sensation you get when performing poetry in front of like a large audience like that, in front of a microphone and on a stage, where your words, you can hear them through the microphone and they just sound so much more powerful.
While Herrera may enjoy the live setting, Wilson says one of the biggest challenges that most students face is nervousness. Last year, Herrera didn't advance at the state level of the competition. And so she didn't get to perform the poem, The Collar by George Herbert, which she had practiced and had hoped to do. She says this time, given the chance, she wanted to make sure that she was able to bring the piece to life. She notes her favorite part.
There's this line where I think it goes, to suit and serve his need deserves his load. And I love that line so much because I feel like that is the climax of the poem.
She says the word deserve carries the most weight because most people can relate to it.
He that forbears to suit and serve his deed deserves his load.
Herrera says she didn't have an affection for poetry early on. She didn't really understand it at first, and she thinks a lot of people don't explore it because they don't quite get it. But she says being a part of this contest helped her understand the power of words. She suggests that if people recite the words of a poem, or even record themselves saying it, they may develop a deeper affection for the art too. The Poetry Out Loud competition will conclude with the national championship on May 27th.
Back to life. Dead.
I'm Yvonne Booz.
Speaking languages, living and dead, their minds retentive, their five senses intact, their footprints like a butterfly.
Thanks for choosing Sound Ideas on WGLT, made possible in part by Bloomington Normal Audiology. I'm Charlie Schlenker. This is Bloomington Normal's Public Media.